Change of plans.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. General Motors says no thanks. It'll keep its European brand Opel, pour a little money into it, and try to make it profitable. Except it doesn't have a lot of money. Wanted to get rid of Opel because it was draining even more and got some monetary assurances from the German government, where Opel is based, to sell it. Let's get the latest on the about face with Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, who's been watching this story. He joins us live this morning. Hi, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So firstly, of course, why was GM planning to sell Opel?
Well, when GM was in such deep financial trouble, it put Opel on the block. It was a way to stop the hemorrhaging. You know, GM was going to do a deal with Canadian auto parts maker Magna and a Russian bank. The hope was that if GM sold Opel, it would save European jobs. The German government, of course, liked that. It has tens of thousands of Opel workers, and it even pledged some government aid to help. But yesterday, GM's board decided it won't sell Opel after all. It's going to keep it and invest a few billion in it and try to sell more cars in the European market.
And Mitchell, GM doesn't have a lot of money. Can it handle this burden?
Well, you know, keep in mind, all this deal-making started when GM was really in the pits. The Germans probably figured they just wanted to be done with GM and put this car maker in the hands of someone else. Canadians and Russians sounded like a good idea. But, you know, GM's doing better now, and so the equation has changed. At least that's the take that I got from David Bailey. He's at Coventry University's business school.
I think that the deal with Magna was never the preferred option for General Motors. That deal was effectively rammed down his throat by the German government, who said, here's 4.5 billion euros, do a deal with Magna to save jobs in Germany.
You know, and Bailey told me that he thinks GM actually needs Opel and that European market to get healthy and grow again.
What we are seeing is a leaner, fitter GM emerging from Chapter 11 in a better financial condition, now thinking, actually, this is of strategic importance to us. We can afford to hang on to it, and we can afford to restructure it. And in particular, it needs the small, fuel-efficient vehicles that GM Europe produces.
Yeah, and GM, Mitchell, wants to hang on to that technology, right?
Well, yeah, it does. And this was the other big concern that GM had, handing over designs and technologies to a competitor, maybe even a Russian competitor, you know, and then getting frozen out of that whole Asian market. One more thing, though, GM also has to contend with, and that is that this will not sit well with the German government. Chancellor Angela Merkel favored the Magna deal, and she ran on it as a way to save German jobs.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us this morning. Mitchell, we do thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's check numbers. Markets in Europe continue to climb. Shares in Paris and Frankfurt are higher by more than 1%. London's FTSE has added nearly 1% as well. Asian shares closed higher today. The Hang Seng tacked on more than 1.5%. Japan's Nikkei was up slightly. Stocks here stateside showed little movement yesterday, but not much. The S&P and NASDAQ were up slightly, but the Dow shed 17 points to close at 97.71. U.S. mortgage applications rose for the first time in a month. That reflects higher demand for home refinancing loans as mortgage rates have dropped. The Mortgage Bankers Association says rates on 30-year fixed-rate mortgages fell below 5%. Speaking of rates, the Federal Reserve Policy Committee wraps up a two-day meeting this afternoon. We could get a little guidance about what they plan on doing about interest rates. The thinking has been to keep rates low to encourage borrowing, but they could raise rates down the road to keep inflation in check. When there's a really big rainstorm, there's a good chance a water treatment plant near you will overflow. That discharges untreated waste into a local river. Congress set aside billions of dollars in this year's stimulus bill to help fix this perennial mess. But Marketplace's Steve Henn reports it's probably not enough.
Eric Gillespie from Recovery.com says Congress didn't pinch pennies when it came to money for water treatment systems.
There is $6 billion set aside.
Members of Congress might be expecting a thank you, but they're not going to get it at a hearing later today.
We have an estimated annual need of somewhere around $23 billion or $500 billion over 20 years.
Susan Brenega is at the National Association of Clean Water Agencies. She says the stimulus bill was a good first step, but the nation's sewer systems need their own trust fund.
We have trust funds for airports and for highways and for other things, and we all use water every single day.
Brenega wants to tax toilet paper and chemicals that end up in our water supply and use the cash to pay for the cleanup. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
So one way to potentially slash carbon dioxide emissions is to capture them and store them underground. This morning, the Center for American Progress releases a study on how China and the United States, the world's biggest polluters, can cooperate on that. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
China and the U.S. still rely on coal for power, and both want to burn it without churning out tons of CO2. Julian Wong is with the Center for American Progress. He says many Chinese plants are near underground caves where emissions can be easily buried. He'd like to see the U.S. help China fund and build 5 carbon storage facilities there.
In total, these 5 projects would be equivalent essentially to taking off 1.7 to 2.5 million cars off the road.
He says what the U.S. learns would accelerate the building of similar facilities here, and the costs would be shared. After all, China is a rising economic power.
So he understands that in any sort of collaborative effort with the United States, that it has to put his own money down and put his own skin in the game.
He says the sooner the two countries start collaborating, the sooner they can cut emissions and create jobs. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Finally, this spa's for you if you like sudsy, hoppy goodness. In Austria, the owners of several rest and relaxation places are filling their pools with beer. One place replaced 3 huge pools of water with 42,000 pints of brew. They say it can help with blood circulation, cure wounds, and even treat certain skin conditions. And if it doesn't, well, there's enough beer being sold next to the pools for people to not really care. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.